السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also sisters listening over the receivers, we had two nikahs, and generally when we have a nikah, then we speak something on nikah. Last week I had commenced a very brief commentary or tafsir of the first of the hamims of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was reported to have said that whoever recites Ayatul Kursi and those first three or four verses of hamim, which is Suratul Mu'min of the Quran Sharif, the first Hamim, in the morning if he recites it up till Ilayhil Masir, it's about three or four verses, then Allah Ta'ala will protect the person from calamities, from disasters, from problems till the evening. And if he recites it in the evening with Ayatul Kursi, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will protect him till the morning. And many other virtues have been mentioned of the surah. Of course, I explained that a person can be reading this regularly in his life. It does not mean that no accidents will take place, no sickness will come, no difficulty or hardship or problems will come. Generally, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will protect the person, but sometimes due to his wisdom, due to the hikmah that Allah Ta'ala only knows best, Allah Ta'ala wants to raise the position, status of someone, so the person gets caught up in some kind of difficulty or hardship. Or Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to forgive the person's sins, so that is why he gives him some kind of difficulty. Or Allah Ta'ala wants to give the person something better after taking away a little of what he has in his possession, testing him for his sabr and patience, and then Allah Ta'ala gives him something better. So that is best known to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We are not aware of what's going to happen in future. Therefore, it is not permissible for a person to look into those columns that come in the newspapers, your stars foretell. Nobody's stars can foretell anything. Many people have been misled, and if you believe in what is mentioned in there, then even iman is in danger. Unfortunately, many, many Muslims are now opening up those columns, and then they check that I was born in January, I was born in March, I was born in December, and then what does the star foretell? And then they go by it, or they restrain if they have been asked to restrain from something or abstain from something, or not to enter into a certain transaction, or not to undertake a certain journey. Just as we have that kind of false notions about the month of Safar, that in the month of Safar you must not undertake any marriage, any nikah, because there will be bad luck. Now all those nikahs, all those marriages which ended in divorces, did all of them take place in the month of Safar? And why only nikah? Why only nikah mustn't take place in the month of Safar? What about all the other business transactions that take place? If a person is going to benefit 1 million rand from some deal, does he say that no, it's a month of Safar, so therefore I won't deal, wait until after Safar? So there's no truth in it. These are all superstitious beliefs. We are mu'mins, we are believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore we should not believe in these type of things. We should not even look at those columns which can create doubts in our minds. Because if the doubt comes, our iman can be in danger. the person did not do what he was told to do, or he went according to what was the direction given, now the person will say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, let him down. So what I am saying is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even after the reciting of these things, some difficulty, hardship, problems can come. So at that time we must not doubt what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. But we must look into our lives, that that was not the only thing that we were asked to do, that just recite this in the morning, recite in the evening. Unfortunately, the whole world is now becoming a wazifchi. Wazifchi means long, long tasbihs of wazifas. Any person who takes a shaykh, any person who takes a peer sahab, the first thing they want to know how much wazifas we must read. Indeed, that wazifa helps. But when it comes to Islam, it is a practical religion. It is a way of life. It covers every aspect of a human's life. Shariat covers our salat, our zakat, our hajj, our fasting, our ibadat, our muamalat, our dealings, our transactions, our nikahs, our walimas. Every aspect of the person's life, upbringing of the children, talaq, travel, eating, drinking, what does Shariat not cover? So many people just say that we have been reading this wazifa, but if you look at the person's zahir and you look at his batin, there's no Islam in it. Neither does the outward project any Islam, and nor does the inside have any Islam. The person is hooked on all kinds of webs, or the person is drowning in the ocean of sins, or the person is caught up with so many different kind of webs on the internet, or is fallen into some kind of net, M-net, East-net, West-net, Shaitan's net, so many different nets. So then if you're reading that wazifa, it's not going to really help. On the one side you light up a small candle, a person lights up just a small candle, and on the other side there is a, in the cold weather, the person lights up a very small candle in cold weather, and on the other side he's got the air conditioner on. So will that little heat of that lamp help him in any way? Or on a very hot day, the person has got that small fan, that small little fan that children play with. I always say that if you have to bring that fan close to your nose, then it might even injure your nose. That kind of fan, that you have to bring it very close to get some breeze. So he's got that fan in his hand, and on the other side he's lit up a huge fire. So will it cool that room in any way? In the same way, we are lighting the fire of sins. The fire and the flame of sins is rising high, and the heat of that sins is causing destruction to family life, bringing problems in one's home, creating disaster in the society. So much of problems. Another person says, I want some wazifa, I want some taweez. So believe me, those taweezes and wazifas are not going to help. You may get some sawab for reading that wazifa. So nikah is also part of Islamic teachings. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in one hadith sharif, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he was questioned by the sahaba kiram with regards to what is the best thing that a Muslim can acquire, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Mastafad al-mu'min ba'da taqwa Allah." After the taqwa in his life, no person has acquired anything better after taqwa in his life. That's the most important thing, that the person must have taqwa. He must have piety. He must have God fear in his heart. He must restrain himself from everything that is haram and forbidden. He must obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of his life. So if he's got taqwa in his life, then nothing better has he achieved after having taqwa in his life. Ba'da taqwa Allah. Then a pious and a righteous and a good woman who is helpful for his iman. That is the best thing that a person can acquire with taqwa in his life. If he's got taqwa, then that is the best ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a great blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if a person is blessed with a pious wife. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the description of who is a pious wife and who is a good wife and who is a good woman in another hadith, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that that woman who is a good woman, a pious woman, a good wife, I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning of those hadiths. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, one of his qualities is this, that in amaraha ata'athu, that when the husband orders her to do something, she does it. Wa in nazara ilayha sarrathu, and when he looks at her, she pleases him. When he looks at her, then she pleases him. And the third sifat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave, that wa in aqsama alayha abarrathu, and if the husband has to take some kind of a qasam with regards to something that is permissible, then she fulfills that qasam of the husband. She doesn't cause him embarrassment. And the fourth thing is that if he has to be gone out somewhere, then she takes care of the wealth of the husband and she takes care of herself also. That means she doesn't indulge in any kind of sin, she doesn't commit adultery, or she doesn't indulge in any kind of illicit relationship. And she also looks after the wealth of the husband, because the husband is not at home, so she had now the opportunity of disposing of that wealth. She had the opportunity of dispatching that wealth, just as we have many people working in dispatch departments, and so much is dispatched that only when they take stocks they realize how much of dispatch took place from there. So she also had that opportunity, but she doesn't do that. So that is a good sign of a woman. So straight away all of us here in the masjid, because I'm addressing a congregation of men, all of us will say, you see, the women have to be like that. When we look at them, they must please us. When we order them, they must do whatever they have to do. And when we are out, they must take care of themselves and they must take care of our wealth. And if we take a qasam, they must fulfill. But we must always realize that every obligation, every right that a person has also has a corresponding obligation. Just as we are demanding these things from those women that we are marrying, then we must look at ourselves also. What did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tell the husbands? He made special sifarish, special intercession on behalf of the women folk, and he said, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is interceding on behalf of the women folk, to deal with them gently, kindly, to be loving, to be sharing, to be caring, to enter the home with a smile, to discuss with them as you would discuss with a beloved. Unfortunately, until the marriage does not take place, then all the discussion that takes place on the telephone, in that discussion there is a different tone. All the discussion that takes place on the telephone, in that discussion there is a different tone. But when they get married, after a few months of honeymoon, or few days of honeymoon, then after that everything is forgotten. And now the person's true nature begins to surface. Now he's behaving like a lion inside the home. He's acting like a wolf. And he just wants to shout and scream and demand. You think if the person is going to behave in that manner, then that wife is going to please him when he's going to look at her. When the person is going to be abusing her, when the person is going to be demanding rights which are not supposed to be his rights, or when the person is not going to be loving, caring, sharing, is not going to be kind, gentle, smiling, if he's going to be all doom and gloom when he comes into the house, and now he's saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when I order you something, you must do, and when I look at you, you must please me. So then she will say, but when I look at you, there's no pleasure at all. So how do you expect me to please you? How many women folk, I'm not saying for one moment that women folk are all 100% angels. There are many, many weaknesses and shortcomings, and there are many a times that they make up stories and exaggerations. But we are men, rijal. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has called us rijal. Rijalul la tulhihim tijaratum wala bay. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said the women are like prisoners in your hands. What kind of treatment Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to the true prisoners, those who came arrested in battle. Look at the treatment that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to those prisoners. The type of the treatment that he gave to those prisoners made them accept Islam. Those who were real prisoners. But the treatment that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to those prisoners that came in battle, it made them accept Islam. Read the incidents. There are so many, there's no time to go into any detail. And look at the treatment that is given to our prisoners in Iraq and in America, in Cuba, in so many other parts of the world. So So there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the treatment he gave to real prisoners, true prisoners of war. And here he's saying that these wives, they are like prisoners in your hands. Meaning that they cannot just go wherever they want. They are no more like how they were in the homes of their parents. They have come to you. So now it is your duty to treat them with kindness. Don't blow your top and your fuse over every little thing. And what is going to be the end result? I keep asking those husbands who say, but she didn't do this and she didn't do that. And most of the times it's trivial things and absolutely petty things. But what is really happening is this, that because we have displeased of Allah, we are not fulfilling the rights of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is putting that hatred into the hearts of the women for the husbands and the husbands for the wives. Because the wives are also watching the same filth on the television screen and they want their husbands to behave like those film actors. And the husbands are watching those actresses and they are demanding the same kind of dancing and jumping as those actresses are doing. Now when those women after 1 year, 2 years, 5 years or after they've given birth to children, they cannot perform like those actresses. So now the husband's desires are not being fulfilled. So what is he going to do? He goes to the prostitute quarters. Or he goes and indulges in extramarital relationship. Now what will this bring into that person's life? Nothing but disaster in that marriage. Nigahe aqareba badli mizaje dostan badla. Nigahe aqareba badli mizaje dostan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away His glance of rahmat and mercy, then that person, no matter what he tries, he's never be a success. There will always be disaster in his life. And the first place that becomes hellfire on earth these days is the home. The first place, check, which becomes hellfire on earth is the home. Because the person's heart, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, turns it away. The heart, which is supposed to be the capital of the Muslim's life. Now when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts azab on that heart, spiritual azab, so restlessness, anxieties, worries, arguments, fights, quarrels, nothing but disaster. So I keep asking those husbands that you are demanding, you saying that no, she's not doing this and she's not doing that, or that agreed she's wrong. What will be the end result of your shouting and screaming and bashing and hitting? What will be the end result? Will that win her love for you? Will anyhow any kind of love come into her heart if you are going to do that? Look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even his wives raised their voices in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at times. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very upset because it was his daughter, Hazrat Hafsa, who was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very upset because it was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu who had raised a voice in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not say a word. And he still joked with them. He smiled. And he told Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Hazrat Abu Bakr was about to slap his daughter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put his hand out, and then he told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, you see how I saved you from your father? Now we can't say these type of things. That was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. For us he is Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Why did these things happen in their lives? It was to teach us a lesson who were going to come long after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can be so tolerant and still he can be so good and so kind, that each and every wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had nothing to say about him except goodness. Not one wife complained that my husband has been unkind, unjust, unfair, he has treated me badly, poorly, nothing. Although those same kind of situations arose even in his life, where sometimes his wives raised their voices. But those voices were raised because they had love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were proud that my husband is such that I can raise my voice, but he's not going to do anything. He's not going to be like the one who is going to be smashing and bashing and lashing and criticizing and mocking and teasing and ridiculing. My husband is one. As Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she described her husband, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa returned from the cave of Hira. The first wahi had been revealed, and Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa came very worried and excited. He said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. At that time, in what beautiful words Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha consoled him. Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada, innaka latasilu rahim wa tahmilul kal. Now there's no time to go into the details of that hadith, I've discussed it at length. But look at the beautiful way in she's describing the beautiful qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what husbands must strive for. That our akhlaq, our character must be such that it wins the heart of the wife. And the wives on the other hand, that is what they should be striving for. That they should behave in such a manner, they should speak in such a manner, they should act in such a manner, that they win the hearts of the husbands. That it prevents the husband from going to the prostitute quarters, or prevents the husband from entering into some illicit relationship. But most of the times it is not the fault of the wives. It is just that we have put ourselves into such situations that shaitan and nafs has gripped us. And then it is leading to ruin of so many marriages, so many marriages. 80% of those women who are complaining about their marriages, it is because the husband has got an extramarital relationship. And where does it all build up from? Those same secretaries in the schools and madrasas and colleges and universities and businesses and companies. And especially when the person is working next to a semi-naked woman who is putting perfume and makeup and coming dressed like a doll. And now in the meantime his wife, she's already reached her 40s and 50s. So what else is that person going to do? So the sin of all that, on whom is it going to be? So if we want happiness in our marriage, and marriage was intended for that, to give us happiness, to give us peace, to give us satisfaction, contentment. If we want that, then there's no other way but to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala unite the hearts of all those who are married, and especially this couple that were married. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.